For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryo Bank, the number one sperm bank in the U.S. and my personal favorite. Use code LOVEISLOVE at cryobank.com for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies and come tell me about them. Let's go.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
My hope for the future for gender-affirming care is that children have enough support to understand that gender is beyond two sexes, that gender is expansive and gender is something that belongs to them, that gender is not something that your parents or the government defines for you. Gender is what you say you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's part of what helps me wake up and do the work that I do every day is, you know, for one child, one family to be able to define that. I hope that children have more support from their families, the people that actually gave them life, you know, to understand themselves and to understand their futures. You know, what options do they have available to them? You know, I live in the state of Ohio. I was born and raised in Ohio. And even in this day and age, we're fighting for gender affirming care.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name's Jamie. I'm your gay host. And this is the show, as you know, that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities. And y'all, this is season 18. We have been sharing queer family goodness for the past 18 episodes, and I am so honored to be here with y'all. I am so honored that you still continue to tune in episode after episode to this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mission. And I have a really great episode coming at you today. I had the privilege of sitting down with Elle Moxley. Elle is the founder of the Marsha P. Johnston Institute, whose mission is to protect the human rights of Black transgender people. And I thought this was a really, really important episode to share for our season premiere of season 18, because it seems like everywhere you turn right now, there are fires raging, both literally and figuratively, if you catch my drift. Today, if you're listening to this, the day this episode drops, it is also actually inauguration day of He Who Shall Be Nameless. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe it's happening. And so a big part of me wanted to share this episode, this conversation with Elle, to give y'all a little bit of hope and some resources to help you through the beginning of what might be, for many of us, a very trying time. It feels like everywhere you turn, every new headline you read, they're rolling back the rights of so many of us. Facebook and Meta have taken away their protective measures for LGBTQIA plus individuals and marginalized individuals in general. They have taken away their censorship of hate speech, which I personally have been privy to in the past. And it seems like this hate speech is actually ramping up even more. And it's happening that quickly. It's like the trolls have come out of hiding. Amazon recently announced that they are going to roll back their DEIA commitment, which is insane to me. So it's all happening on a macro level with government, with big business, and it's happening on a micro level as well. My school district, the school district that my children go to schools in, which is in Chelsea, which is the heart of the LGBTQIA plus civil rights movement, is being attacked by Moms for Liberty conservative folks who are trying to roll back protections for trans kids and marginalized kids everywhere. I feel like book banning is just around the corner, right here in NYC. I personally am doing what I can to organize and fight against these hateful changes that are coming, but I feel like this is happening across the board to all of us, to many of you. And I think that Elle's message in this here conversation and just the guidance that Elle gives in this conversation and the resources Elle supplies, I think, are priceless for us. And I think that all of us need to look for hope. We need to look for faith. And we need to look for the helpers. And I'm going to do my best this season to try to bring as many helpers as I can to all of us, because this is a scary time for many of us. But what I do know about our community is we're strong and we're going to get through this. And we've been around since the beginning and we are not going anywhere. And then in the meantime, on a more personal level, on a family level for me personally, I'm dealing with my own little fire here in my house, which is a recent cancer diagnosis. My wife, Anne, who you all know and love more than me most of the time, was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And so, we are dealing with that as a family as well. So I am so happy to have you all as a community, just to be an ear to talk to. And I hope that I offer you solace as well and comfort as much as you bring me, knowing that you're out there and you're listening and you're doing your part to make this world a better, more inclusive, more woke, dare I say it, place. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. I have some really great ones coming at you. Next week, I'm talking to a man who actually is from Italy, who lives in Italy, who is living through all the rollbacks there, doing over there with their government. And I do want to say he's doing fine and his girls are doing fine too. Like I said, we will persevere. We will persevere. But there are some great, great conversations coming your way. Thank you for tuning in. I want to get this tape rolling. I want you to hear what Elle Moxley has to say. And I'm wishing you all love and peace in this new year. And I hope you make it through this week. And I'm here for you all year long. And so is California Cryobank. Use that code. All right, let's go. Helen, Beulah, Gerson, my lovely, lovely, lovely assistants and editor, please roll that tape. Let's go. Find the helpers. Don't be afraid to. Roll the tape. Here we go.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Elle.
Hello. Hello, Jamie.
It is so good to have you here. And Harper. Hi, Harper. Harper is Elle's puppy dog sitting on Elle's lap. And I have a feeling Harper's going to be there the whole time. And I fully embrace and welcome this.
You know what? He's going to try.
That's okay. My crazy Kira is underneath my covers in the bed right now. And at some point, she's going to shake herself out and try to bother me. So I understand it. I get it. I'm there. I'm here for it.
Yes. Nonstop. Doggy mom all the time.
All the time. They really can drive you crazy. And they're also the best. The best. Okay, let's get right into it. I'm going to ask you to give us your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. Are you ready?
I am ready.
On your mark. Get set. Go.
I am Elle Moxley. I am the founder and executive director of the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. We're an organization that works to protect and defend the human rights of Black transgender people in the United States. And it is no surprise that so many transgender people are under attack at the federal, state, and local government levels, considering the many anti-trans bills that are passing, literally in this moment, that are passing. And so I, like many, advocating for the consistent protection of humanity, starting with the trans community, but related to everyone else. So I'm honored to be here.
I loved it. You went slightly over, Elle, but I won't fault you for that because, oh my God, this is such an important conversation. And before we started recording, you were even just telling me about something that you just found out about today. And my audience knows that I record these a little bit ahead of time. So this might be old news and we might have all different kinds of news happening when this episode airs. But what just happened, Elle? What just happened?
Yeah, today in the state of Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine signed a bill into law that will ban Ohio students from using school restrooms that don't align with their sex assigned at birth. He essentially announced his decision after the Ohio Senate voted to essentially pass the legislation along with the Ohio House. The two bills were folded into Senate Bill, I believe, 104, which essentially amends academic institutions to set separate bathrooms, locker rooms, and overnight accommodations. So that's happening, you know, literally in real time.
Yeah.
The ACLU of Ohio is certainly arguing that SB 104 has harmful anti-trans provisions and ignores that transgender people have to endure higher rates of sexual violence and assaults, especially while using public restrooms, than people who are not transgender. But, you know, that's the state of the world right now.
It's insane. I mean, there is this huge, okay, so he won, which it's like boggles my mind. I think we're all still in shock that at what happened with this election. And right away, it's like we're going after immigrants and we're going after the trans community. Like, boom, boom. What is this obsession with the trans community? And not only that, they're starting with the trans youth, which really, really gets me the hardest. Like, what is this? I'm so angry and angered by this. Like, why are they going after this community this way? And the most marginalized amongst the community. What is the, like, what is their end game here?
Well, the end game is complete dominance and control. And the more rights people have, especially those who are marginalized, it makes it really difficult to have as much control and dominance as this administrative party, this entire political party would like. And so if you're able to undercut the voice of dissent or the voices that advocate for their ability to be seen as human and to have access to more, then you create a world in which you have more control. And so I think one of the things that people are missing in this moment is this party doesn't want to just have control over trans people or women. They want to have control over everybody. And the sooner you can get the little people out of the way, the easier you can control, because then you can align yourself with those who already believe like you or people who are on the fence of believing like you.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a strategy, and it's a strategy that unfortunately is working because people are not smart.
Right. No, they're really not. There's so much ignorance. And I'll tell you what, Elle, I've always gotten a certain amount of trolls and hatred on my social media channels regarding the content I put out, because I'm all about uplifting and highlighting and celebrating queer families and queerness in general and all of our beautiful identities. And I've always gotten a good amount of trolling and hatred. Ever since this election, it has ramped up 100,000 times. I I'm afraid to go on Facebook at this point because I think it's maybe the older generation that really is like really getting on top of this whole topic. And a lot of the things that a lot of the comments go straight to, you pervert, you want men in girls' bathrooms. You pervert, you want, they go straight to the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. They go straight to us being groomers. They go straight to all these crazy myths that are coming from the rhetoric that they're spewing just to gain control, like you say. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm so excited to talk to you, Elle, is because you actually have actionable steps we can take and are working really hard to like help to make positive change and to help the LGBTQIA community, as I like to call it, move forward in a positive way, and especially mm-hmm. the Black trans community, which is the most targeted among mm-hmm. us, which mm-hmm. I know you know more than I know. And before we get into like actionable steps and everything that we can do, and I want to hear more about the Marsha P. Johnson Institute and everything y'all are doing, because this is fantastic and everybody needs to know about it and subscribe to your newsletter, which I just did. But I want to know, what is your connection to the LGBTQIA community, and how did you come about getting into the space that you're in right now and the work you're doing? Mm-hmm. I would love to hear a little bit just about your personal background story, if I may.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a transgender woman. I have been involved in celebrating my own self my entire life, you know, and that created so many openings for me to be a activist. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to advocate for my own self, so I found it much easier to advocate for other people. If I had to look at myself, I would have fell apart in my early years of life. And so I knew I needed to do something to save myself, but I also knew if I was going to save myself, it was some people I was going to also have to work to save, because nothing happens in a silo. Nothing happens individually, regardless of what the world is telling us. Nothing happens individually. You know, mm-hmm. I was always raised that for every action, there is a reaction. And I knew that if I was having a reaction to something or I was having certain results, then other people were probably having those results or were going to be destined. So mm-hmm. I wanted to change my destiny. I thought that, you know, being a trans woman would lead me to my death. I never thought it would lead me to my existence. And so I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to affirm myself in my own time, without approval from my family, without approval from the government, because that was an individual power that I needed in order to be able to contribute to a large collective of something that was bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I ended up in this space of social activism and social change and being a leader in so many of the formidable social justice movements that have shaped the last decade of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate you. We all appreciate the work that you're doing, and more of us need to get involved. And I think we all know this now. And I think we're all trying to figure out the avenues that we can take to help move movements like the one you're working so hard for along. And especially those of us who have more privileges, the need to get involved is heightened to an even higher degree, right? We need to all recognize our privileges and then start using them to help those who need it the most. And oh my God, there are some who really need it. And I want to ask your personal, like taking it back to your personal, I'm so nosy. I'm sorry, Elle, but like, mm-hmm. if I ask you anything that you don't want to answer, just tell me. We don't have to go there. But what was your experience to getting gender affirming care like in your youth? And I think I already know how it affected where you turned out to be. But mm-hmm. what was your experience with gender affirming care? Mm-hmm. And what do you wish for a future for children and youth? And I'm not talking about 7-year-olds going into schools and getting a sex change and coming out. I mean, like, what is your hope for the future for gender affirming care? And relay it back to just kind of your experience.
You know, my hope for the future for gender affirming care is that children have enough support to understand that gender is beyond two sexes, that gender is expansive and gender is something that belongs to them, that gender is not something that your parents or the government defines for you. Gender is what you say you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's part of what helps me wake up and do the work that I do every day is, you know, for one child, one family to be able to define that. I hope that children have more support from their families, the people that actually gave them life, you know, to understand themselves and to understand their futures. You know, what options do they have available to them? You know, I live in the state of Ohio. I was born and raised in Ohio. And even in this day and age, we're fighting for gender affirming care. We literally just saw the governor of the state say that an element of care will be denied to transgender people. You know, it's not just an assault on transgender children. It's an assault on all transgender people. It's just easier to take mm-hmm. agency away from children. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, you know, I am old enough to remember when none of these things were even talked about publicly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with that, there's so much sensationalism because the trans community has evolved. The trans community is extremely visible in ways that we've never been visible before. Mm-hmm. We're actually outside in the daytime. We're actually doing podcast interviews and mm-hmm. talking about more than being entertainment. We're actually talking about the fight of our lives. Mm-hmm. So that's my hope for the future of gender affirming care is that it's not something that people have to fight for. It is something that should just be inherent. Having access to reproductive health care and comprehensive health care, these are basic human rights mm-hmm. that every single person on this earth should have access to. And why the world has created a debate around transgender people being separate from everybody else is a reflection of how cruel the human heart can be. Ooh. And so I hope that more people are healed in their perceptions of not only trans people, but how they perceive themselves. And I think that's the biggest challenge here is trans people are actually not your enemy, it's yourself. You Ooh. Treat us how you treat yourself. And it's easier to treat us that way. But unfortunately, it all comes back around.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything you just said there, yes, I am amening to. I am saying all the things. Yes. And gender affirming care can be as simple. People don't even realize this. It's as simple as just therapy for for folks who are exploring gender, just therapy. That's gender affirming care, yeah. Right? It goes so much further than just, we're not talking about surgeries here. We're mm-hmm. talking about caring for individuals who are showing up as themselves and figuring out themselves. And everybody, like you just said, deserves yeah. the right to be themselves and figure out themselves.
Yes.
Without being told by mm-hmm. their family or their government. Exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. So eloquently. Yes. And yes. And yes. And it goes all the way to like my kids' school, like in the library section, I go to the LGBTQIA section, mm-hmm. which is, if you're watching the video, it's like this many books. I mean, it's a teeny tiny little section. There is maybe one book, Julian is a Mermaid, that one. Mm-hmm. There's one gender affirming book in this whole entire section. And I know my children have a bookshelf full of books mm-hmm. that talk about gender, exploring gender and transgender children and LGBTQIA on mm-hmm. every spectrum. There are many books we could get, right?
Yeah.
The libraries, the school libraries need to have them. But right now what's happening is they're going to be taken away, mm-hmm. even the little that we have. And yeah. I think it's up to us parents. Like, as far as I know, I have two children who, as far as I know at this point, are cisgendered, I think. You never know, right? But it's up to parents like me, who I think have cisgender children, to teach my children about all identities and the gender spectrum and how we have to respect and accept people when they say who they are. We believe who they are. And that is the bottom line. And I think I'm preaching to the choir with my audience here, but, you know, sometimes I hope that these little interviews will get out to, like, the folks who actually really need to hear them and will be heard. You never know.
And people who want to do more than just debate. You know, I think we're at a point now where people really just want to debate truths. It's part of the reason why eliminating books that tell people more about who they are so under attack. You know, if we live in a world that denies that Maya Angelou or Toni Morrison existed and made great contributions to the landscape of American books and world books, then we've really created a tragedy for generations to come. You know, the impact of that kind of erasure is, you know, it is a reflection of America's ugly history that they do not want us to know about. You know, and that's the thing that makes me quite angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Toni Morrison says it best, you know, there really is nothing more to say except why. Mm. But since why is difficult to handle, you know, one must take refuge in how.
How? Yes. And if there's one thing I know for sure, it's that the trans community will show up. Mm-hmm. And we are proving the legit qua, I'm including myself there. We are proving that we are going to show up and we're not going to back down, because I live in Manhattan. I live in Chelsea, like Chelsea adjacent. My kid's school is in Chelsea, which is right next to Greenwich Village, which is where the heart of the gay civil rights movement took place.
Right.
Which is like gay Mecca, right?
Right.
The district in which my school is in has been having a debate. They brought up a vote about 8 months ago to ask the DOE to change the gender inclusive policies in regards to girls' sports that the DOE has adopted. This is here. In Chelsea, like, never thought it would make its way here, right? Mm-hmm. So the vote got put on our council of people who are supposed to represent our community, and it passed.
Yeah.
In mother effing Chelsea, Greenwich Village, Hell's Kitchen, it passed, right? And since then, every single month when this CEC board meets, the trans community and LGBTQ community and allies have shown up at these meetings. These meetings used to have nobody at them. Nobody ever paid attention to these meetings because everybody just assumed they're making decisions about like school locks and shit, you know? Ever since that thing passed, the community has shown up and protested and spoken and made these meetings last about 4 hours long to fight against this evil, vile vote that was passed. And there are some allies on the board who continuously bring up revision to vote to say, and the DOE came back and was like, right away, this vote is not okay. We say no to this. This is gone, but it's still on the record.
Yeah.
It's still on the record that they voted that way. And that hurts our children. And that hurts our communities, right? And so these people keep bringing up this revision to strike it. Just strike it from the entire record. And they continuously vote against striking it. Mm-hmm. And so the trans community, and here's what my point, and then here's where I want to come into our actionable steps and how I know that we can do this. We can, because we're fighters.
Yeah.
The trans community, the LGBTQIA plus community, the allies continuously show up, and we're not going to stop showing up until they change the goddamn vote. Right? So I know we're strong. I know the trans community is strong.
Yeah.
Despite the terrible violence that the trans community is put through.
Yes.
Constantly. But I know we're strong. And Elle, what can we do? Where do we move forward? Help us through this.
Yeah.
And let's go. Let's, because it's go time now, because you know who is in that building. I can't even like say, we don't say that name, but like, it's go time. What do we do? How do we do this? How do we organize? Because community. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
I just wanted to take one moment to interrupt here to talk about our sponsor, California Cryobank, because I think it's a really, really important message that California Cryobank has for all of you, which is a code, love is love. You go to cryobank.com, you use code love is love, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And as we all know, we have to use help, most of us, not all of us, to make these beautiful families. And California Cryobank is a wonderful, wonderful partner in the making of your family. I used them to make my babies. They were with me the whole way. I called them. They offered me guidance. They offered me advice. I was a pain in their sides and they never showed it. I really do love them. And they really do the work to cater to the LGBTQIA+ community. They will give you a letter for second parent adoption if you need it. They offer free vial transfers between partners. So if you have to switch who's going to be the carrier mid-cycle, they will do that for you. They offer so many wonderful, wonderful perks for the LGBTQIA community, as well as many, many other perks that do not just pertain to the LGBTQIA community. I love them. I think you will love them. And I love the little babies I made through California Cryobank. They are the number one sperm bank in the U.S. They ship to over 40 countries worldwide, and they are balm, in my opinion. So all you have to do is go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE. You're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog, or you can actually use that discount for a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more info about the donors and their donor catalog. So go in there, start making the baby, start shopping, and then come tell me about it all, because I love to hear your stories. Okay, let's get back to Elle. Don't forget to do it, though. Don't forget.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Love is love.
You know, I've been wrestling with this for many years, you know, because I knew that there was going to be a point in time in society where we were going to have to learn how to work across marginalization. And so, you know, a framework that I created and encourage, you know, folks who are interested to follow me is a framework called collaborative solidarity, mm-hmm. which is essentially a approach to how those across race, class, gender, economic status can do action together and mm-hmm. build community together despite whatever we're up against. I did not know the particular circumstances that we would be up against, but a forward thinker and always thinking about what are resources, things that we'll need in the event that there's some avalanche of humanity under distress. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so one of the things that, you know, we've done at the Marsha P. Johnson Institute that I'm extremely proud of, and I think it comes at the perfect time, is we've created a Trans Bill of Rights toolkit. And essentially, you know, what we knew is that the transgender community, the Black transgender community, really needed to govern ourselves. And we needed to create a pathway, if you will, of things that we must honor in order to honor ourselves and each other. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the Bill of Rights was born. And then we said, you know what? We need to take this a step further, because it's one thing for us to have these commandments, if you will, of how we'll be, but we actually need to create tangible resources, tangible exercises, tangible homework for communities who want to utilize this resource. We need to create space for people to practice mm-hmm. because that's the only place that you'll actually really learn how to do the thing that you want to do is through practice. Yeah. You know, you gave this great example of how the community shows up to these meetings. The outcome, the vote outcome is always the same, but that doesn't stop the community from showing up. Through that, people have learned how to care for each other, who they can lean on. If I'm not there, you're going to be there. Your presence is going to help. But if we're both there together, we can lean on each other, right? So those are the kind of things that happens when you intentionally decide to be in community. Mm-hmm. But most people have never been in community with Black trans people or right. maybe even trans people, right? Mm-hmm. You think about this targeted bathroom bill, or you think about this targeted, you know, trans kids can't play sports. And it's like, how many trans kids have tried to play sports? Probably two, right?
Thank you.
Probably Thank you. Two out of 560 kids. And so it becomes even more asinine to humanity when you mm-hmm. start doing the actual data. Who are you really trying to kill by having this rhetoric be popularized in your community and in your society?
Mm-hmm. Under the guise of protect our girls.
Right. And who...
That's assuming that trans girls aren't girls right there.
You're making assumptions around who needs protected.
Right.
I trust there are people in these people's lives who need protected from them. Mm. Right. That's the reality of those who try to be saviors. And that's what our whole point is. None of us are trying to be saviors. We are trying to exist. We are trying to live. And we know that we have to live with other people. We right. know that people are transphobic. Trans people know that. It's an inherent thing that we know. We know more people are transphobic than we know people who are not.
Yeah.
But that's because we've learned it in our lives.
Yes.
We didn't need it on the political stage. We didn't need any legislation. We know it in our life. We know it from our families. Mm-hmm. We know it from our churches. We know it from the people we love. 7 out of 10 of those trans women who are murdered, it is intimate partner violence. It's not someone that they tricked. It's someone they've had an ongoing sexual relationship with. So this idea that, you know, trans people do not need to be here is all of the reasons why we created this Trans Bill of Rights in this mm-hmm. toolkit. And mm-hmm. this was going to happen for us as an organization, regardless of who the president was, because we knew that regardless of who won, there was still a president who was going to be aligned with this massive attempt to dehumanize trans people.
Yes. And I will say that even during the debates, I was shocked at how little LGBTQIA plus anything came up during these debates. Like, it wasn't nothing, wasn't nothing, wasn't nothing. And then all of a sudden they started this attack on trans people.
And that was intentional.
It was very intentional.
It was very intentional because, unfortunately, for one party, they have to appeal to the other party. So I have to appear as moderate and as enthused about actual social issues as possible. So no, I can't say that I'm a Black woman. No, I can't say that I support transgender people. No, I can't even say the word transgender because then that's going to be minimizing to my attempt to win.
The moderate side, or the I don't know yet side, exactly.
So you
all the transphobic people.
You sacrifice for those people because their vote to you matters more, which again is part of the reason why we created this toolkit, because we wanted to make something available for not only Black trans people to build community and to build safety and support and resources around ourselves, but we wanted to do that with the communities that we love. Mm-hmm. You know, some of our mothers are still, you know, rocking back and forth about their love and what that looks like. Some of the men we love, some of the women, some of the partners we choose are still in between, right? Especially if they're cisgender people. So, you know, we hope this toolkit really fosters opportunities for people to build community and to have a reference point. Even if it's not a perfect reference point, it's a reference point outside of the rhetoric that exists on the news channel or in the legislative houses where these bills are passing and being written. Trans people belong, and here's a resource on how you can ensure that trans people belong. And so whether it's a religious resource or intimate partner resource, this toolkit references everything that you can imagine. It's a comprehensive 77-page toolkit.
What are some of the tools in there that, if you can, off the top of your head, think of like some of the tools that folks could take away from just even just from this talk today, like, okay, that's something that's an actionable thing I can do. Or like even like from my white, cisgendered, lesbian standing, like what can I do? What tool can I use to like help this community move forward in love and grace and acceptance? Oh my goodness.
There's so many, and you know, so grateful for the amazing hands. So many hands touched and prepared this, but so many tools, you know, whether it's the right to safety and tips on self-defense and safety planning exercises, or the tips on community care as a part of the self-care process. You know, we're like, oh, self-care is okay. You went and got your nails done. It's like, self-care really looks like a community banding together to, you know, buy somebody a house or whatever it looks like, you know, for your community. There's tips on how you can get there. So self-care practices, self-care exercises, but even affirmation. There's affirmations in this toolkit. Some lessons on what is visibility. So many people have no idea what it means for trans people to be visible, to show up at these meetings and to be obviously targeted as trans people.
Right.
Or even to be in the advocacy space where you're constantly introducing yourself to the world, knowing that the world is going to target you, you know. So there's tips on how, you know, to show up and support those who are visible and affirming those who are visible in your life or in your community. There's also, you know, a section on legislative protection. So just knowing the law, how to reach out to your legislative officials, you know, what protections and complaints exist and where you can complain.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
It's so comprehensive in terms of the resources. It's available via MarshaP.org/toolkit. And yeah, it's just like I said, it's fully comprehensive. You know, if you have a question around it, we tried our absolute best to answer it. One thing that I think is important, because faith and joy are so disconnected from the trans experience, because we've been taught by society and government that trans people are going to hell. Or if you sit, you know, for the Pledge of Allegiance, you're un-American. And it's like, no, I'm just Black.
Yeah, I think we should all just start taking a knee. Like, let's all take a knee until this person's out. And then as long as it takes, let's just all just take a knee.
Yeah, let's just honor actually the history of the country. Right?
Thank you. Yes.
We're taking a knee to honor the ancestors who built this country, the ancestor who this country belongs to. That's why we're taking a knee. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know, you want to dredge up, you know, forefathers and concepts of that, we can really talk about who those forefathers are. But I say that just to say, you know, this toolkit is a opportunity for those who desire faith and joy to also have some exercises and to be affirmed.
Yeah.
For those who aren't trans, but believe that trans people are heavenly and are angelic and are beautiful beings in the world, there's resource there for them.
They should be, trans people should be revered. I really do believe.
Yes.
There are civilizations in history that actually revered trans people as those who are transcended.
Yes.
And yeah. I think that there is really something to that. When I go to these meetings where we all show up and people speak, parents get up and speak about their trans children. Trans children are getting up and speaking. Trans humans, all trans humans in general are getting up and speaking to their experience and why this is so harmful. And then other people speak on the other side of it. I am not a trans individual. However, the way I feel after these meetings, the pain I have inside of me after these meetings, after seeing these people bare their souls, and then also hearing the other side with their hateful, hateful, mean, ignorant, dumbass rhetoric.
Right.
Just feeling that pain that I feel that one night or maybe for the week after. Imagine that on a whole, like, there's so much pain that needs to be healed.
Yeah.
I, for one, want to do my part to help eradicate that pain and bring the faith and the joy, as you say. And I'm so grateful for what you're doing and for your resource, the toolkit, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, everything. I think it's so important. And I interrupted you and you were in the middle of a sentence. So if you want to finish that sentence, I just,
You needed to say that. And I operate from a space of say the thing you need to say. Life is so precious. And I think it's so easy to take it for granted. I've lost so many people that the world said should be lost. And I refuse to believe that. So I say that just to say that everyone has the right to be here. And transgender people have the absolute right to rest in self-care. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the absolute right to engage in our own healing and restorative practices without judgment, because clearly our community is under attack.
Yes.
And people are taking great pride and joy in attacking our humanity, our opportunities, our looks, our failures, our challenges. We are being made an example of in a way that is directly related to genocide. Mm. And if we don't start looking at this as a genocide, and that there are many genocides happening in Palestine and the Congo and Haiti and here in the United States, we are going to be miserable longer than we are joyful.
Yeah.
And that's not just transgender people. And
it's a domino effect.
That's the big picture that everyone is missing. And I think people are getting it now a little bit. There's massive layoffs happening across industry. You know, there's tariffs are happening and they're going to continue to happen. But, you know, I'm here. MPJI is here, and every other trans person in this country, we're here to stay. And there's going to be absolutely nothing that gets in our way.
Been here the whole time. Been here the whole time. Not going anywhere. And everybody deserves to be able to show up how they want to show up.
Yeah.
Which I think is also really important because we all want to show up in different ways.
Yes.
Right? We don't all want to look feminine or masculine. There's so many things in between, and everybody deserves the right to show up in this world the way they want to show up.
Yes.
And be embraced for it. As long as they're not harming anyone. I had some I had some troll say to me one time, they were arguing with, I don't know why I engaged, but I was arguing back to somebody who said something asinine about me being gay or whatever. And then he said, oh, so you would accept your child if they told you they wanted to be you would accept your son if they told you they wanted to be a girl. I say, I would accept my son, whoever they decide to be. However it was worded. He said, and then the next argument goes right to, oh, so if he wants to be a serial killer, you're cool with that.
Right.
It's like, you're missing the point. And until we can get past that ridiculous ignorance and just craziness.
Yeah.
We're never going to get to a place of love and faith and acceptance and healing.
The country elected a criminal. This country elected a criminal. So the idea that trans people are criminal should not even be an argument, because this country elected a criminal. So if every trans person was a criminal, that would be okay based on America's choice. Mm-hmm. So it actually is a moot point to even say, oh, so if your child was a serial murderer, based on how you think and based on how you and your people voted, you've already told us how that's you feel. Okay.
That's okay. And he also appointed basically a groomer, which is what we're being called, you know, the one who, I don't remember his name, but he appointed some guy that like was accused of raping a 17-year-old. Okay, groomer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Exactly. Based on your own actions, you're the one saying all of this is okay. Not us.
Yeah. You know, I say all of that just to say, you know, criminal charges are being dropped against this president elect. So, you know, I think a lot of people, again, are making very mute points about the transgender community. It is a marginalized community. I think the last census, there's less than 1 million trans Americans. Less than.
Yeah, you know, so I'm let's not go sure after them. Yeah.
What the specific number is. But, you know, I think we've got to get smarter and people have got to really think bigger. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're in a time where people are thinking smaller and people are not thinking about their contradictions.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is it just becomes projections of people's personal views that are harmful and that do kill people, which is why every day, you know, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute is trying to figure out what ways can we continue to protect and defend our community? How can we celebrate our community? Because people are telling us that we should not be celebrated. You know, how can we honor those who are doing so much work to protect us and to keep us safe? You know, so that's the focus, you know, is not on what people I can try to convince to think that trans people are worthy. How can I protect the people who do? Mm. How can we protect each other? Yeah. And that's the big work that we all have to figure out during this time, because it's now a matter of public opinion. And that's the whole point of culture change, is to get the public opinion involved. So it's actually not even political any longer. It is literally just based on public perception.
It's time to rally.
Yes.
It's time to start working and building that community.
Yes. What's the narrative that combats the hate and the criminality that trans people get associated with that is so far completely unrelated? You know, so many parents are being called groomers who are fighting for their children to have the right for gender affirming care. Parents who are affirming their children as LGBT are being called groomers. Babies, you know, babies.
I'm being called a groomer because I'm gay.
Yeah.
And I made babies.
Yep.
Right. So
this rhetoric is nothing new. What's new is that there's a large community of people who have banded together and said, actually, yes, that hateful thing you believe, I believe that too. What I know about hate is everybody supports it until it happens to them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody supports hate until it happens to them. Exactly. So it's taking action. It's building community because they've been working a really long time to get to where they're at. This is not, this is no new thing. They've been working real hard. So now we need to get smart and do the work, right? Get in these conversations. I think that's a really great point. Get into these difficult conversations so that we know how to combat the hate when we're faced with it. And that's the hardest part of it, right? So I guess do the work. And before we close up, I do have to ask, just because this is the Queer Family Podcast and I do talk about baby making all the time, is there any thoughts in your head about ever becoming a parent?
Oh, always.
And how you might go about doing that? And there's many routes. There are so many routes us queer folks take.
Always. I am a proud godmom to a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful baby who I adore and just so grateful for the opportunity to parent in that way as a godmommy.
Chosen family.
Yes. And I have wonderful nieces and nephews who I love dearly and get to parent in that way. And someday, you know, I'll have a little bambino of my own. I am a bit of a traditionalist, so, you know, I'm not very interested in single parenthood and single mom. So, you know, we'll see how things go down the line.
You want to go the heteronormative route to get there.
Heteronormative. Somebody needs to be here to help me with this baby.
And I would second that motion. I would second it as a woman with two children. You need some help.
When you're done helping me take care of this child or you're taking care of this child, we become stuck on my neck.
Yeah. Yes, please. And I love it. I love that, you know, we can also be traditionalists and then we're going to need a little help to get the babies when we get them. However, we're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Some of us want to get married first. Some of us want to partner up first, you know, so... Just a little nod to the normalization of our families and
what's normal. You know, I think that's the thing. It's like, what's normal? I'm
nothing.
None of us are chasing anybody else's normal.
Especially our community.
We're chasing ourselves.
Yes.
And so that's what it looks like for me. I'm chasing my own dreams. Only I know what those dreams are. And that's the future of family looks like for me.
but it's not ruled out. And that's what's important as well.
Like, no, never ruling anything out. You know, it may be a moment where.
And also, you don't have to have kids. I'm not advocating for having kids. You don't have to have kids. People live wonderful, wonderful, probably better lives without them. However.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But just, you know, knowing that it's always an option.
And
we can be whoever we want to be. And we can have the lives that we want to, but we got to do the work.
Yes, we all have to do the work. And, you know, the biggest family that I've been able to create is the family that I've created with myself. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important one for me right now, is just really taking care of all of the parts of me that I didn't even know needed taking care of. Mm-hmm. So I hope others in the LGBT community, in the queer community, in the community that you don't even know you're in, those people, I hope you find family in yourself and make peace with all of the ways that the world will try to tell you that your family isn't valid or real.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully said. Now tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find all of your resources, and it'll all be in the show notes as well for everybody who's listening. So you can go reference that. But where can everybody get a hold of you, find you, do the things, all the things?
Well, one, you can find the Marsha P. Johnson Institute at marshap.org. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us on Instagram and social media at MPJ Institute. And people can find me at ELLE-Moxley.com. Or you can find me on Instagram at L_Moxley.
I'm doing it right now. I'm actually literally finding you right now. And I'm going to follow you, and everybody else needs to too. And go check out all those resources, everyone at home. And come on, let's do the work, because it's time. It's time.
Donate. Pull out your wallets. Mm-hmm. Donate. Join an organization. Find something or somebody to support.
Yeah.
And maybe do both, because at this point, people need it. You know, I woke up this morning not thinking about having to move out of Ohio. 2 hours later, that's the only thing on my mind is, oh, I've got to move, because this state is going to make it unbearable to live in. And I don't deserve to have an unbearable experience where I live.
No one does.
So
those are some words to end on right there. Keep in touch. Let us know where you end up.
Yes, I will.
Hopefully we all stay safe out there, and I appreciate you so much, and thank you. And keep in touch and let me know if there's ever anything I can do or share. I'm here for you. And the audiences as well. I know they are. So
thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Hi, audience.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.